This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
Edward T. McDougal presents Against All Hope, with narrative description by AudioVision Canada. Introducing Michael Madsen, Maureen McCarthy. Director of Cinematography, Michael Puccini. On a busy street corner, vendors crowd the sidewalk. Parked cars line both curbs. Traffic moves through the shadows under an elevated train. A young man strolls across railway tracks. On an empty street, he passes a row of run-down, vacant buildings. Without breaking stride, he pulls a small liquor bottle from his hip pocket and drains it. He tosses the bottle into some weeds and keeps on walking. On another street, he approaches a drunk slumped on the sidewalk and squats down beside him.
Hello, Arthur.
Hello.
I thought that was you sitting
here.
Not looking too good, guy.
I'm sick.
He pulls a bottle from under Arthur's coat. As he looks at it, another man joins them.
Hey, what's happening, see?
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Going on, man.
I'm gonna take this guy in and get him something to eat.
He hands Joe the bottle.
Everybody, he's a bum. Leave him there, man. That's where he belongs.
I gotta help him out. How would you like to be sitting out here?
Cease puts his arm around Arthur and helps him into the coffee shop. The waitress meets them at the counter.
You get this guy something to eat and keep him off the brew.
He hands her some money and leaves.
He always brings these bums in here.
Outside, Cease and Joe walk down the sidewalk drinking from Arthur's bottle. In a kitchen.
I don't know. I'm not saying that I'll divorce him, but I've had it. Look.
She opens a cupboard.
I'm ready to leave him if I have to.
She holds up a wad of bills. Cease and Joe cut through an alley between two houses, past kids playing. They go up the steps of an apartment house. In the kitchen, the woman closes the cupboard.
Wait a minute.
She goes to the window.
Is it Cecil?
It is.
And his friend, Joe Cleveland. 6 months ago, he wouldn't be caught dead with someone like that.
Cecil comes in.
Sit down, Joe.
He stands in front of the other woman and takes a long swig from the bottle.
Oh, sorry.
Where's all the glasses?
Where do you think?
Well, I'll wash up a couple and pour some drinks, okay?
I'll fix you some drinks.
His wife grabs the bottle.
In the other room, Joe.
She empties it into the sink.
Hey, what are you doing over there?
I'm dumping this poison down the sink.
Hey,
I should have done it a long time ago.
Hey.
Cecil grabs at his wife, ripping her apron.
You just poured my best friend down the drain.
Your best friend just cost you your marriage. Come on, Cecil. I think we ought to take a little walk. Come on, outside. Come on, hold on now. You don't
Jean
want to do
goes to the phone.
Rash.
Hey, she
Come
can't
on.
Leave me.
Oh, yes, she can.
Mom, I'm leaving her. Tomorrow morning. I'm taking the children, too.
Good, man. I'll talk to you later.
Joe leaves. Cecil looks at Jean, then shakes his head and walks away. He goes into a bedroom and slams the door. sitting on the bed, he takes off his shoes.
I never thought I'd get to the point where I hate him. I know, Jane. I went through the same thing.
But, Sharon, your husband never did this. He doesn't even sleep at home at night sometimes. He doesn't have any care for his children. You see the way he treats me? There's not an ounce of
He opens the door a crack.
Anymore. I can't stand it anymore, Sharon. I've got to go.
You sure he's not going to pull something like
I don't
that
know,
again.
Sharon. I'll be out of here in the morning.
Are you sure you don't want me to stick around?
He slams the door again. Grabs his head and throws himself back across the bed. He's tormented by visions of fighting and, as a boy, finding his mother unconscious.
No wonder your father is sick!
Exhausted, Cecil passes out. He awakens with a start in the middle of the night. Switching on a lamp, he grabs a clock. It's 2:27. He dashes to the door. Hurries through the kitchen. And enters a child's bedroom. Scooping the child up in a blanket, he heads for the door. Jean blocks him.
Cecil, what are you doing? You can't take him. He's sick.
I heard you talking to Sharon. I'm leaving. I'm taking him with me. There's nothing you can do.
Cecil, he's sick. You can't take him.
Get out of my way.
He shoves Jean aside and carries the boy out the door. In the car.
Dad, where are we going?
We're going to Grandma's. Go back to sleep, honey. It's okay.
Driving along, Cecil remembers past arguments.
How do you expect to get out of this, Cecil? Have you thought about that?
Look what it's doing to the kids. Ronnie's never been like this before. What's wrong with you?
He parks the car and carries Ronnie up some back steps to a door.
Hey, Joe. Let me in.
Hey, what's the matter? Your boy sick?
No, I am.
Come on in.
Cecil enters and places Ronnie in a chair.
Why don't you have a seat?
Joe takes a beer from the fridge.
Stuff here is all I got.
No, I don't need that. Jean's gonna leave me in the morning, and I think I'm gonna kill myself.
What? Oh, man. Why you so uptight, man? Your woman wanna leave, you let her go.
I can't do that, Joe. She's all I got.
But you need a place to stay?
No, I need some help. I need some real help.
Oh, man. Look here, man. We done been through all this stuff before. You can't quit drinking. So why don't you just accept it? That's the only way you're gonna ever be happy.
No. There's gotta be some other way. Where's your phone book?
Oh, what?
Yellow Pages, phone book.
Here you go. What you doing?
Got one. You watch Ronnie until I come back. Make sure he don't catch a cold.
Yeah, I look out for him, but
Joe checks the open phone book.
Hey, man, what you doing, man? Calling some preacher you don't even know at 4:00 in the morning.
It's my only hope.
The phone rings in a bedroom.
Hello, Reverend Baird.
This is Reverend Baird.
I hate to call you at this late hour, but I'm an alcoholic, and I'm thinking about killing myself.
But I'm afraid to die.
Do you know how to get here?
I'll find it.
Okay, I'll see you in a few minutes.
Who was that, dear?
Oh, some guy named Help.
Cecil pulls up at the Reverend's house and gets out.
I'm glad to meet you, Cecil. You can just call me Tom. Come on in.
Tom leads him into the living room.
Let's go and sit down and talk.
Well,
I don't know where to start.
Well, let's start from the beginning.
I've been drinking on and off now for about 12 years, I guess.
Well, how'd you get started?
How did I start drinking?
Mm-hmm.
When I was 13, that's when everything started going wrong for me. You see, up until then, I was happy. And then one day, I was riding my horse, Peanuts.
Cecil dreamily remembers the ride in a large field, peacefully galloping through the knee-high grass and wildflowers. As young Cecil approaches his house, the horse takes him through a grove of trees with low-hanging branches.
Peanut. I'm gonna get you.
He tries to protect himself, but is knocked off.
Hey! Ma! Hey, Ma!
Cecil runs into the house and up the stairs. His mother lies sprawled on the floor.
What's the matter, Ma? What happened?
A doctor examines Cecil's mother as the rest of the family hovers around her bed.
I'm sorry, Clift. I'm afraid she'll never make it.
Later, outside.
Dear God, please don't let her die. God, she's all I got.
Sometime later, Cecil's father drives up to the house with a nurse. Cecil's mother and sister sit on the porch.
Cecil, this is Myrna. She's going to be taking care of your mother for a while.
Hello, Cecil.
I'll let the two of you stay here and get acquainted, and I'll carry the bags on it.
As Myrna picks up one hat box, Cecil gets another one.
You mean to say you're 13 and you can't carry more than one of those at a time?
He takes the box from her. Cecil's father takes the family for a ride in the country.
Dad, how come you had to invite Myrna? You know I already hate her.
Now, Cecil, you know the Bible says we're not supposed to hate anybody.
Yeah, but wasn't the Bible written before Myrna was ever born?
Days later, Cecil runs a race with a friend, then waves goodbye. At home, he sprints up the stairs to his mother's room. She sits semi-conscious.
What's the matter?
Mom? Well, Julia, how do we feel today?
Myrna enters with a tray.
She doesn't know who you are.
She should. She's my mom.
Let's just move you over here by the window, Julia, so you can watch the cars go by. I can't work with you in here. Go out and milk the cows or something.
You're not my mother.
You're acting like a little baby. Now, don't you see you're upsetting her? Now, get out, now. You're just making things worse.
He leaves the room.
Now, Julia, feeding time. Now, let's open our mouth.
Cecil watches from behind
Julia,
the door.
You're impossible. There's a lot of things I'd rather be doing right now than trying to get you to open your...
Julia bites her.
Why, you...
Myrna slaps her. Cecil runs away. Later, Myrna serves Cliff coffee in the parlor.
It's been very hard for you these days, hasn't it, Cliff?
In the next room, Cecil practices piano.
Really has.
He turns and looks at his mother.
But you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And I've certainly appreciated your concern.
Well, maybe one of these days, Julia will get better. I certainly hope so. You know, the children so desperately need a mother. I'd like to stay just as long...
Julia becomes extremely agitated. Sometime later, a small funeral procession enters a cemetery. Cliff walks with Myrna. Two women walking beside Cecil noticed them.
If it wasn't for that boy, Julie'd be alive today.
Why, his birth alone wore poor Julie out.
He was carrying on ever since. We've been wearing her out all the time.
But not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
After the service, Cliff pulls the car up by the barn, and everyone gets out. Cecil walks to the barn door. Cliff approaches and puts a consoling hand on his shoulder.
Dad?
What is it, Cecil?
Is Myrna going to be living here for good?
For a while, Cecil.
Later, he talks to his horse.
Well, Peanuts, she's gone. Remember the other day when I came home and told you she was getting better? Well, I thought she was. I'll tell you one thing, Peanuts. I'm sure glad I got you. You may not be the best-looking horse in the world, but when you're feeling good, you and I can outrun anybody.
Sometime later, Cecil's sister works in a garden patch. Cecil runs up carrying something.
Hey, Betty!
He shoves a dead squirrel at her.
Betty, get out of here! Oh, my God! It reminds me of your boyfriend, Vincent, the tire jockey.
What? That squirrel?
Well, the noses are alike, and the teeth.
Cecil, did Dad tell you?
Tell me what?
He and Myrna are getting married.
Tell me you're kidding.
Betty shakes her head. Later.
Boy, I sure ain't looking forward to going home today.
Why not?
Myrna's home from the honeymoon with Dad. She thinks she's boss now. She won't even let me play piano.
Listen, if things get too rough, you can always run. That's what I did.
You did? Well, I'll see you, okay?
Yeah.
At Cecil's house, his friend leaves.
Hello, Cecil.
Hi.
Myrna sits with an older woman.
I've told you about your shoes.
He removes his shoes on the porch steps.
How was school today, Cecil?
Okay.
Cecil, this is my mother, Phyllis. She'll be staying with us for a while. You can call her Grandma if you'd like.
Hi.
Hi what?
Hi, Phyllis.
It's a pleasure to know you, Cecil.
At the dinner table.
Have you heard any news about Cliff yet?
Yes, Mother. I called the hospital, and they said that Cliff would be coming home tomorrow if things go well.
Oh, wonderful. Betty, how are you doing in school?
Oh, haven't you heard?
Heard what, Betty?
I was accepted to nursing school last week. I'll be starting next summer after I graduate.
Nursing school. Is that so? Following in your mother's footsteps, right, dear?
Yes, we're so proud of her. You know, Mother, Betty needs a new dress for graduation.
Well, why don't we all go shopping together for one? How does that sound?
Fine.
I saw something that was just the thing. It had a beautiful sweetheart neckline on it.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
Excuse me.
Ask.
May I please be excused?
Cecil leaves the table.
I know where he should be.
He listens. Where's outside that? The door.
Beaverton or St. Mary's. They'd instill some discipline in him.
Well, he sure needs something. You know, today I saw him running those milk cows again, and he still hasn't changed the straw in the barn.
Sounds like a good-for-nothing. I don't understand him.
Oh, I don't want to understand him. What do you expect from a boy whose best friend is his horse?
He needs a good beating, if you ask me.
Don't worry. I'll get rid of him.
He closes the door. Cecil goes out and heads for the barn. He leads Peanuts out.
Well, Peanuts, it's another sad day today. Things are just getting worse and worse. You know, I feel like I'm a big zero. I'm sure I'm not going to make it like Betty is. Nobody cares, Peanuts. Oh, you still do? Thanks. You know, if I do run away, I'm taking you with. What would you do without me? Peanuts? You'd probably be in a glue bottle by now, wouldn't you?
Later that night, Cecil sneaks back into the house. Myrna appears.
You little brat. What do you think you're doing coming in here in the middle of the night waking me up? Well, your father's in the hospital. No wonder he's sick. It's things like this that made
Don't put your hands up.
She shoves him down the cellar stairs. He gets up and glares at her.
Why, you...
I'm going to lock you in. You can just stay down there and think about everything.
She leaves him in the dark.
I'll get you for this, Myrna. You just wait and see.
I'll get you, too.
When Myrna locks the door, Cecil switches on a light in the dank cellar. He lies down on a bench.
I isn't dead here. She'll be sorry she pulled this one on me.
He pulls up an old blanket and lies staring at the ceiling. Next day, Cecil rides Peanuts up a road. A bundle hangs from a stick resting on his shoulder. A truck approaches and slows down.
Hey, whoa, hold up there, boy.
Cecil drops his bundle in the back of the truck, gets off Peanuts, and ties him to the truck. He walks up to the driver.
Are you Cliff Moe's boy?
I was.
Where are you headed?
I don't know. Just leaving home, I guess.
What's the matter, son?
My stepmother threw me out of the house.
Can you drive a caterpillar?
A caterpillar? I was raised on a cat seat.
Well, I got 1,000 acres of grain that's got to be harvested. How does $5 a day sound to you?
$5 a day?
Follow me down to that ranch at the end of this here road.
Back at Tom's.
My dad didn't seem to mind my leaving home. At least he let me stay with the Hodges. Guess he knew the work would be good for me.
Well, did you work hard?
Yeah, I worked 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. I thought I could buy myself a cattle ranch with the money I was making, and all the months I worked there, I never saved a nickel. Spent every bit of it.
Where did you go from there?
Other farms until the war broke out, and then my father signed me up for the Navy.
Sailors dressed in white parade across the grounds of a naval base. Cecil and another sailor enter a hallway and pause to check out a poster.
Now here are they.
Hey, Gus, look at this.
Seaman First Class Cecil Moe and Seaman First Class Gus Adams report to the duty officer with your gear tomorrow at 1800 hours.
They just said our names. We're going to be shipped out, Gus.
Oh, so well, we'll get shipped.
1600 hours.
You don't care?
Well, look what we got to look forward to.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, by the way, this is on your bunk.
Oh, yeah?
Sure.
That's a letter from my dad. Dear Cecil, getting the alfalfa crop in, and Peanuts is okay. Peanuts, that's my horse. I want you to not worry about things because in case something would happen to me, I've got 2 insurance policies, one for you and one for Betty.
At the Moe's home, Cliff answers the phone.
Hello?
Hello, Dad.
Oh, Cecil, good to hear from you.
Dad, are you okay? I just got that letter that you sent me about the insurance policies.
No, don't worry about me. I'm fine.
Well, I'm getting shipped out, and I was hoping
that maybe you and Betty could fly up here and spend a couple of days here.
That sounds terrific, Cecil.
Dad, there's one more thing.
Myrna eavesdrops.
Don't bring Myrna. Can you promise me that?
Yes, Cecil, I'll promise you.
Call as soon as you get to the base, and I'll meet you at the Grand Hotel, okay?
Sounds fine.
Cliff starts up the stairs. Myrna comes down.
What did he want? Some more money?
No, he wanted me to come see him at the base for a few days.
Well, you must be disappointed.
I've got to go. It may be the last time I see him.
Well, you didn't tell him that you were coming, did you?
Myrna.
Well, you can't go, Cliff. Your heart condition.
I don't want to talk about it. He's my son. Please.
Your son? Why, I'll tell you, you'll never get there. I'll make sure you don't.
She shoves him down the stairs.
You'll be a cripple before you get down there.
Afterwards, Cliff hobbles to the barn. A farmhand returning a tool to the barn sees him and stares.
Mr. Moe.
Cecil was right.
Cliff's face is bloodied and battered. In his Navy uniform, Cecil walks up a tree-lined path in a cemetery.
My father never did make it out to the base to visit me. His health just got worse, and he died the same summer, 1942.
Cliff's funeral is in progress.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to the nearer place for you.
Cecil hesitantly approaches the gravesite. Removing his cap, he stands alone, away from the others.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Cecil turns and wanders away.
For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Back at the base, Cecil stands on a platform by a stairwell. Gus approaches.
What's the matter, Cece?
My father's funeral. I just can't get those preacher's words out of my head. Let not your heart be troubled. My life is ruined. Let me ask you something, Gus. When you drink, does it make you feel good?
Yeah, I guess so.
How does it make you feel?
Well, it makes me forget most of my problems. I don't miss my wife or kids.
So do me a favor.
Cecil hands Gus some money.
What's this for?
You know, pick me up a bottle of whiskey.
Are you crazy? You don't drink, Cece. I'm not going to be the one to start you off on this.
Look, I really need you to do that for me, okay? Just be a friend.
Later, Gus hands him a small bottle.
It's the best I can do for a buck.
This stuff's gonna make me go blind, but I'm gonna drink it anyway.
Cecil opens the bottle.
Well, that was all it took to start me drinking. Things really weren't too bad then. On weekends, I'd been visiting a girl named Jean. She was a pretty special lady.
The happy couple leaves the chapel.
And with a lot of persuasion, I finally talked her into marrying me.
A few years later, a car drives up and stops in a park. Jean and Cecil get out and walk around to the back of the car. Cecil hands a baby to Jean.
Take Brian.
He opens the trunk.
At first, she put up with my drinking because I guess maybe I did it without her knowing.
Cecil pulls out picnic gear, including some beers.
Yeah, but then I could tell Jean changed, and all the time my drinking got worse. I remember how I'd come home, and I'd just look for something to get mad at so I'd have an excuse to leave. And believe me, I'd always find a reason to get out of there.
He enters the kitchen where Jean is at the stove.
Hey, what's to eat around here?
Why don't you go to the store and get something?
I sent you to the store last week, didn't I?
Well, how long do you think $5 worth of groceries is going to last anyway, Cecil?
As long as it takes you to spend on this kind of slop.
Later, at the dinner table...
Ronnie, pass the bean cakes, please.
Dad, don't you want some more of these? I haven't got anything on your plate.
It's okay, son. You eat them up. They're good for you.
Take your fork.
When Ronnie's little brother, Stan, chews with his mouth wide open, Ronnie laughs. And so does Cecil. Jean is not amused. Stan slurps his milk. Jean wipes a milk mustache from his face.
These bean cakes are too salty. Jean, we gotta start having a plan around here. Things are too chaotic. For one thing, we ought to have a menu. White navy beans for breakfast and fish on Friday.
I thought you didn't like beans.
I never said that. All I said was I didn't like them in pancake batter. Another thing is we ought to get these kids' clothes clean every week. Look at Stan's shirt.
Listen,
looks like
you are the Navy, not me. Now, I'm not going to have a plan of action in my house. I'm going to run my house the way I want to. You can go out and ruin your life the way you want to, but
hey,
don't tell me about
my
house.
I can't stand your complaining.
I complain.
I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go get a square meal.
Cecil drives off. Later, he sits at a coffee shop counter eating soup. The waitress serves another customer a coffee.
Thank you. What's the matter? Don't your wife feed you at home?
Yeah, that's right.
He tips the bowl.
You clumsy idiot, you.
Ma'am?
What do you want?
The soup.
What about the soup?
I spilled it.
You drunks? You're all like a bunch of slobs. Right, Lily?
Right.
You know where that music is coming from?
Well, it sure ain't coming from here.
He leaves the coffee shop and heads toward the music. Walking down an alley, he comes out in an area strewn with garbage. He approaches a man sitting on the ground.
You know where that music is coming from?
It's coming from right over there.
Cecil heads down another alley, passing graffiti that says, Beating the Odds.
At this time, my little girl Naomi would like to sing a song to you again.
He turns into a doorway and enters a crowded hall.
God is so good.
Beautiful.
Cecil finds a seat.
And now, David, it's your turn. David's going to say John 3:16, the golden...
Put out that cigarette, you bum.
Nice and loud now, so everyone hears it.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What God has done for me, he can also do for you. And that the most truthful thing that I've learned in this life is that Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so.
Amen. And you've heard the gospel tonight. You've heard the music. And there's no reason that everyone in here can't get saved. Reverend Clark, would you like to come down? And those of you that would like to come to the prayer room, it's over here. Reverend Clark will greet you and go into the prayer room. Eternity is forever, but life is going by so fast, this may be the last time you'll ever hear the word of God again.
Men are greeted by the Reverend Clark.
Keep coming, please. I feel as someone in the audience yet that you're so close to accepting Christ, but you're so far away. Think of the love of God and think of the life you can have in Christ Jesus. Don't leave here tonight without Christ.
Cecil stands and moves into the aisle. He looks at Reverend Clark, bows his head, then turns and walks away. Outside, Cecil starts to walk the city streets. At home, Jean goes to answer the door. Cecil steps in.
Where you been?
I've been to church.
To church?
Yeah, I have. And then I went to
the tavern.
Yeah, how'd you know?
Next morning in bed.
How many drinks did you have?
Two.
You tell me how a man can get drunk on two drinks?
Now what did I do?
Well, it's not easy. I'll teach you sometime.
You know, Cecil, you need help. I mean, you really need help.
Help? About what?
Your drinking problem. You come home drunk every night and... Would you turn that thing off, please? We don't have any food. We don't have any money. Why can't you quit?
Jean, I could quit if I wanted to, but I like to drink. You ought to come down to the bar. There's some nice people in the tavern. Why don't you get a babysitter tomorrow night, and you can come down to the tavern with me. You'll like the atmosphere.
But, Cecil, I don't like taverns. I even feel dirty when you're inside of one.
I wouldn't have to go to the tavern if you'd stack up on some beer in the house.
Next day, Jean shops in the supermarket, more than a dozen bottles of beer in her cart. Sharon comes up behind her.
Oh, hi, Jean.
Sharon!
What you getting all that booze for? You gonna start your own bar?
No.
Seriously, is that for Cecil?
Well, he said he wouldn't have to go to the tavern so much if I kept some beer around the house, so here we are.
Oh, Jean, why do you put up with Cecil's drinking?
Oh, you know how Cecil is, what a tender guy he is. And heck, he never forgets my birthday, and sometimes he even brings me flowers.
Flowers? What about groceries? Who's paying for your Thanksgiving feast,
I
then?
Am. It'll be okay. I've got a part-time job now.
They leave together.
Well, then I'll talk to you tomorrow, Sharon. Happy Thanksgiving.
You walking home?
Well, you know how Cecil is.
Come on, let me give you a ride.
Okay.
The next day in the kitchen, Jean takes a turkey out of the oven.
Mom, can we start now?
Well, we'll just wait a few more minutes for Daddy. Stan, would you like to set the table?
Okay.
Come on.
She hands Stan the napkins.
Gran, you can help too.
She holds out the plates.
Here you go.
Mom, I thought you said that Dad was going to be back in a few minutes.
Well, he probably just got a flat tire.
Later, Cecil pulls up in front of the house. He walks into the living room carrying a couple of bottles. The boys sit on the floor watching television. He puts the bottles on the end table, takes off his coat, and sits on the couch.
How's your Thanksgiving?
Great, Dad. Of course, I wanted the best for you. But we had a good time.
What'd y'all have to eat?
Turkey and gravy.
Cranberry sauce. Corn on the cob. And some milk.
You're going to get a pot like your dad if you don't be careful.
Cecil reaches for a beer and opens it.
Wow, what a game. Yeah. Yeah.
Ronnie sees Cecil enjoying his beer. In the kitchen, Gene puts away the dinner dishes. Cecil puts his beer bottle on the floor. Ronnie sneaks a drink without Cecil noticing. From the kitchen, Gene looks thoughtfully into the living room.
Too much to eat the day before they came out here. But anyway, let's get back to the action. The ball's back in play, and back to you, Glenn.
Ronnie takes another drink. This time, Cecil catches him and laughs. Ronnie goes into the kitchen and stands beside Gene at the sink.
Who's winning? Ronnie?
Bending down, she looks at his flushed cheeks. She feels his forehead.
Here, honey, drink this.
She stomps into the living room.
Cecil, did you happen to see your son out there? Ronnie's out in the kitchen right now, and he smells like a brewery. Did you hear me, Cecil? Listen, you can sit there with your life in shambles, but you're not going to risk the life of your children. Do you hear what I'm saying to you, Cecil? Now, I'm not going to take this from you any longer. Something's got to be done. Now, one of us has got to go. Now, which is it going to be, you or me? Will you answer me?
When Cecil just stares out the window, Gene scoops up Stan and leaves.
You know, I've been married to you.
Later
so long
that night, Cecil gets up from the couch and staggers over to the television set.
You might stop hurting long enough to jiggle me some dinner. You better make a scramble egg.
He returns to the couch and sits down. Pulling his coat up over himself, he lies down and closes his eyes. Next morning, Cecil gets into his car. Soon after, the car pulls up in front of a house. Cecil gets out and walks up to the house. The door opens.
Cecil, what a surprise!
Gene stands inside.
Cecil, glad you could come over.
Hi, George.
Gene, blow out of here.
Come in, Cecil.
Gene refuses to look at him.
Come on.
I'll let you up.
Her parents go into the next room.
Come on. Now, wait a minute. Who do you think you are coming in here smiling like a Cheshire cat? There's a lot of things we have to talk about before I go anywhere.
What's the problem?
You've got to stop your drinking. For good.
Gene, I'm turning it off and on like a tap.
Cecil, level with me.
Okay.
Do you promise never to touch another drop of alcohol?
Yeah, not a drop.
No more liquor stores?
No liquor stores. No nothing.
No more bars?
Yeah, bars too. I'll stay out.
Jean's mother eavesdrops, waiting anxiously.
All right.
Her mother comes in.
Everything settled?
Yeah. I'm gonna let her come back.
Good.
I got something for you, Jean.
He opens a box and takes out a necklace.
Jean, isn't that nice? You know, you didn't have to buy me anything just because you feel guilty.
I don't feel guilty. I just wanted to get something nice for you, Jean.
He takes her by the hand, brings her to her feet, and they embrace. On a sunny day, Cecil, Jean, and the boys walk hand in hand through a park.
Things started to go really well for me for a while. I actually began to think my drinking days were over. I finished roofing jobs that had been hanging over my head for months. I began to spend more time with the kids, and Jean and I were getting along better than we ever had before.
Cecil remembers a happy Christmas around the tree with his family. He recalls surprising Jean in the kitchen with flowers and a large Valentine's card. One evening, Jean hangs balloons over the dinner table. Behind her, a sign reads, "Congratulations, Cecil."
Mommy, Mommy, why are we gonna have a party?
Because your dad hasn't had a drink since Thanksgiving. Now listen, I want you guys to be especially good today, okay? Because this is gonna be a real special day. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Uh-oh.
There's Daddy!
Yeah, now listen, okay, you guys go on out and go meet Dad by the car and then come right back.
The boys meet Cecil as he pulls into the driveway.
You came just in time. Come on, Daddy.
Pick me up, Daddy.
You came, we had a surprise for you.
Uh-oh, what'd I do this time?
He carries Stan in one arm while Ronnie leads him by the other.
Come on, Daddy.
Inside.
Quick!
All right, come on, stand over here and let Daddy sit down. Come on, Cecil, keep your eyes closed now. All right, you guys, are you ready, set, surprise!
Here, Daddy, read the card.
Go ahead.
Come on.
Honey, I'm so proud of your achievement. I knew you could do it. Love, Jean. You guys care about me a lot.
That's right.
Wow.
After dinner, Cecil plays outside with the boys.
Cecil!
If you want to get to that job in Parkland tomorrow, you better get some gas in the car. You've only got 10 minutes left before Joel's closes.
I hate to leave the party when we're just starting to have so much fun.
Don't worry, we'll save some cake for you, won't we, boys?
Yeah!
Cecil!
You forgot your coat. Here's some cake for Joe.
Soon after, Cecil pulls into a gas station. A closed sign sits in the window. He gets out of the car and rushes to the window, peering inside.
Darn, I missed it by 5 minutes.
Later, parked on a street, he gets out of his car and walks up to a tavern door. He opens it and goes in.
Ah, you call me a pool shot?
Look who's here. Cecil, how are you?
Cecil, baby!
How are you?
How you been?
Look at this.
Hey, buddy, let me take
your
coat.
Sit down.
Sit down, buddy.
Hey, you got a haircut. Looks good.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, it's long time no see.
Long time no see, so. So how you been?
No, I'm not here to drink. Just came by to pay the money I owe you.
Oh, come on. You owe me 20 bucks.
Come on, let me have
a good sign.
Hey, I'm not worried about the $8. I'm glad you're in the wagon. You're looking good,
well,
fella.
Well, 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 Cecil Moe, you old hound dog. What you been up to, fella? No good?
I've been behaving myself.
Oh, yeah? Well, I have. Hey, Harry. Here's Cecil, the usual. Fella.
Pushes the drink away.
Come on, Cecil. What's the matter? You too good for us now?
Aren't you going to let us give you a little hospitality?
Don't make us feel guilty. Just one drink. One's not going to hurt you.
He picks up the glass and looks at it. Finally, he drinks it. At home, Jean is on the phone.
Oh, you don't know how good it feels to have Cecil sober again. You know, he hasn't had a drink since Thanksgiving. In fact, we had a little celebration for him here tonight.
Ronnie stands beside her.
Well, he had to get some gas. He probably stopped over at Bill and Lola's house on the way home. But frankly, I'm getting just a little bit worried about him now.
Mom, you want me to make you some hot chocolate?
No, Ronnie, dear. Now, you know you ought to be in bed. Now, come on. Listen, Sharon, can you hang on for just a minute? Okay, fine. Hold on. Come on. That's it. Time for bed, and you know it.
Jean tucks him in.
Mom, I thought we were going to have another party.
Well, we were, honey, but...
Mom, where's Dad?
Well, he probably went out with some of his friends. You know how Daddy is.
At the bar.
Want some cake, Harry?
No, thanks. One of your kids had a birthday?
No. They baked this cake for me to celebrate my stop drinking.
Nah, come on, Cecil. You're taking things too serious.
Let me ask you something, Joe.
Hey, ask. What is it?
You believe in God?
What?
You think about God, I mean, do you believe he's up there?
Hey, Mo, this ain't a place to be talking about no religion.
Do you believe in hell?
Yeah, I believe in hell. I'm going through it right now.
That's not what I meant.
Hey, look, man, you want to discuss all them heavy issues? Find yourself somebody else to talk to, okay? Because personally, Mo, I don't care.
Cecil picks up the drink, looks at it, then tosses it back. He takes his coat and leaves. Outside, he staggers to the car. At home in bed, Jean picks up a picture from the night table and looks at it. It's of Cecil and the boys. She puts it back, turns out the light, and lies staring at the ceiling. She looks at Cecil's empty pillow, then tenderly touches it.
Hello?
Yes, is this the Moe residence?
Yes, this is the Moe residence.
Mrs. Moe?
Yes, this is Mrs. Moe.
We have your husband there.
Cecil, is he all right?
We've sent two officers out to your house. They'll be there shortly.
She gets up and hurries to the door. Policemen get out of the car. They haul Cecil to the sidewalk.
Is this your husband?
Yes.
Does he live here?
Yes.
Cecil collapses in Jean's arms.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Oh, Cecil, at least you could wait till you get to your bed to collapse.
I thought I was there already.
The policemen lift him up. And Jean helps him into the house. Inside, he trips on the steps and sits there.
You know how much you've upset the children? Do you know that the kids were waiting for you? They waited for you with the cake for 3 hours.
Get off my back. It's not my fault you had that party. About that silly cake and Stupid shirt. Who wants a party for a stinking drunk anyway?
He missed the party. He doesn't love me. He doesn't love any of us.
Give him some Alka-Seltzer. He's probably got indigestion.
Gene comforts Ronnie.
I'll be dead, and he'll be sorry.
Oh, it'll be all right, honey. You're probably just having a nightmare.
A kid just like you is nuttier than a fruitcake.
You're not helping things.
Cecil comes out of the bathroom into their bedroom. Gene sits on the bed.
I feel better.
He sits beside her.
Get away, you stink, you pig. Go take a bath.
It's not my style.
When he puts his arm around her, she shoves it away.
I'm sorry, Gene. I know you're upset about tonight.
Look what this is doing to the kids. Ronnie's never been like this before. What's wrong with you, Cecil? You go out and you drink up all your money and you come back here and you throw it all up again. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I think I got a problem.
Cecil, you need help.
Later, Cecil is examined by a doctor.
How often do you wash your ears, Mr. Moe?
At least once a month.
Well, we've given you a complete physical examination, your analysis, blood tests, x-rays. There's not a thing wrong with you that I can tell, Mr. Moe.
The doctor lights a cigarette.
But I am sending you to a brain specialist.
No lesions, no tumors, no evident atrophy, and no apparent abnormalities.
In a psychiatrist's office.
I can't do nothing with this.
Cecil, will you tell me once again why this reminds you of Myrna?
Cecil takes the ink blot and stares at it.
I don't know, it just does.
Yes, Dr. Krenwinkel.
Next doctor.
The doctor's ready to see you now. He's a real doozy.
Good morning, Mr. Moore. I'm Dr. Krenwinkel.
Good morning, Dr. Cranberry.
Doctor sits behind his desk.
What seems to be the problem, Cecil?
I don't know.
Are you married?
Yeah, I'm married. I got two boys.
How is your relationship with your wife?
Jean's been kind of distant lately. She won't laugh at any of my jokes anymore.
Tell me, did you hate your mother?
Of course I didn't hate my mother.
Well, how about your father?
No, I didn't hate him either.
Mr. Moore, I've worked with your type before. You're the suspicious type, always trying to be in control. Say, why do you sit like that? Is there anything you're keeping in?
No.
You happen to be in a prenatal position. What are you worried about?
I think I'm worried about paining you.
Mr. Moore, I don't think the medical profession can deal with you. I'm going to refer you to a clergyman who has had some limited success with antisocials like you.
Later, Gene and Cecil tidy the living room.
It's not my fault.
What about these bills, huh?
Okay. All right. They go to answer the door.
Hello, I'm Pastor Bigelow from the Church of the Free Spirit.
Hi, I'm Cecil Moe. This is my wife, Gene.
Pastor sits in the armchair, grinning at Gene and Cecil, who sit uncomfortably on the couch.
Well, from what Dr. Krenwinkel tells me, I believe your problem is that you and your wife don't get out and socialize enough. Now, I'm going to suggest that you come out to our Wednesday night bingo. Our jackpot's larger than the American Legion. Do you like bingo, Mr. Moe?
I guess I played bingo before.
And on Friday nights, we have Jitterbug Dancing with a live band. You can get a babysitter and leave the kids at home.
I don't know if that's what I need.
Well, why don't you think about it? Here's my card. Call me anytime, all right?
Thanks.
Well, Pastor Bigelow, thank you for coming, and then we'll take a look at your car and everything will be just fine.
Jean ushers the pastor out. Cecil slumps against the wall.
There's no help for me anywhere.
The boys play in a car parked in their driveway. Cecil pulls up behind the car and gets out. He checks out the other car.
What's the matter, Daddy?
Nothing.
Don't you like Mom's new car?
It's all right, I guess.
Inside.
Well, then I'll talk to you later, all right, Sharon? Sure. Bye-bye.
Jean, where'd you get that wreck?
I bought it.
For what?
So that I could get to work on my own.
So you could get to work on your own.
Dad?
That's great. I guess you don't need me anymore, huh?
Listen, Cecil, is it all right if we don't talk about this when the children are here?
Dad, can you take me for a ride in Mom's new car?
Later, okay? Daddy's really tired right now.
Okay.
The next morning, Jean enters the bedroom. Cecil is asleep.
Time to get up. You haven't been in work at all week.
I'm sick, Jean. I got the shapes again. Those doctors haven't done nothing for me.
Cecil, you've got to help yourself. Now, come on, you've got to get up and go to work. You know we need the money. My part-time job just isn't paying the bills.
It's not easy, Jean.
Well, it's not going to be any easier if we lose this house. Do you understand that the landlord called last night and he said that if we don't have some kind of rent to him by the end of the week, he's threatening to evict us? Oh, I don't understand you. Hello?
Yes, please,
hello
there, please.
Oh, hello, Mr. Stanley. Oh, yes, Cecil's here. Can you hang on for just a second, please? Cecil, it's Mr. Stanley. I'm not going to lie for you. Now, take it.
Hi, Mr. Stanley.
Three jobs waiting for you this past week. What on earth has happened?
Well, I haven't felt too well lately.
I've got a man that offers you those jobs for $40 a roof less than you've been doing. Now, are you coming out here or not?
Well, do you think I could have a couple days to think about it?
Later, bud.
Hello, Mr. Stanley. Hello.
What did you hang up, Cecil? How long did you think he was going to wait?
Look, Jean, stop worrying. You're always worrying about something. Look, I'm going to go out and get rid of these shakes. It should only take a drink or two, and I'll be all right. Then I'll go to work. Jean, what's the matter?
You going to be home for supper this evening?
I'll be home. I promise.
Later, in a bar.
You must be some kind of a nut.
I just got a lot of problems. I got three roofing jobs, and I should be at work right now. But I just can't bring myself to do it.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi, Harry. Give me a beer, would you?
How come you're not working today?
I don't know. I didn't feel like it.
You didn't work yesterday either, did you?
Just a half a day.
What's the problem?
I got a lot of things bothering me.
Yes. What's bothering you? You're
driving me crazy. I don't know, just things. What did I
do? The bartender peers at him. Cecil looks away. Cecil pulls up in front of his house and finds men carrying out furniture. They load the pieces in the back of a truck.
Hey, that's my furniture you guys are moving.
Not anymore.
Watch it, fella. Hey, nobody moves my furniture without asking me first.
Cecil, you can't do anything about it now.
You bet I can.
It's gone, Cecil. Gone because you didn't pay a measly $10. And Mr. Ritter said last week we were going to lose this house if the rent's not paid up.
Don't worry, it will be.
Ronnie sits in a chair.
Dad, could you help me with this?
Not now, Ronnie. Maybe tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
You know, Cecil, you might be able to put off paying the bills, but you can't put off your children much longer. I suppose you're going to go out again.
Yeah, how'd you guess? I was going to ask if I could borrow your car.
He holds out his hand. Reluctantly, she gets her keys out of a pocket and hands them over. He leaves. Cecil parks in front of a bar where a man stands outside.
Hi, Miss Lefty.
Hey, Mo. You got a $30 tab here. You paid off. We're going to cut you off.
Yeah. I'll pay.
Oh, you don't seem to understand. I ain't running no non-profit organization here. I want that money now.
I don't have any money.
Hey, wait a minute.
I got a car. I'll sell it to you. It's got to be worth something.
This car? $150.
$150?
Hey, you're getting a good deal, buddy. What do you want?
Can't you up that a little bit? I mean, I got a wife and kids to support, you know?
Hey, look, $150. I don't have time to stand here and talk to you. I got a lot of things to do. You want to sell a car or not?
Looking back at the bar, Cecil pulls the keys out and hands them over.
All right.
Later,
Cecil?
Gene marches into the bar.
All right, Cecil, where's my car?
Shh, don't make such noise.
Hey, I'll make noise if I want to. I want to know, where'd you park my car?
I sold it.
You sold my car?
I'll pay you back.
I'm just curious. How much did you sell it for?
$150.
$150? Do you realize that I paid $750 for it? How much money do you have left?
He looks at a pile on the bar. She picks it up.
Where's the rest?
I'll pay you back, Jean. I promise.
$700. You know, I'm sick of your promises, and I'm sick of you. You know what this means, don't you? No car, no job. First they come and take our furniture. Now they're going to come and take our house. What do you expect to do about this, Cecil? Have you thought about that?
I'll think of something. I always do. We'll pawn something.
Oh, save it.
She stomps out.
Jean, wait. Jean.
Days later, Cecil walks into an empty apartment.
Come on in, Jean.
Hesitantly, she enters and slowly looks around. Cecil switches on the bathroom light. A rat scurries around the tub. He turns the light off.
Well, what do you think? This is it. You like it? Got some big closets over here, plenty of room for all your stuff.
At Tom's,
things really started to get bad. Gene and I were living in filth in the middle of a slum. There wasn't enough food or clothes for the kids, and a little bit of money I had coming in, I blew it on booze and gambling. And that's not even the worst of it.
What was that, Cecil?
I'm ashamed to talk about it, Reverend. Ronnie got real sick. One night he started having convulsions.
Come on. I need you to help me now. Calm down, okay? Help me prop him up.
Can't.
Come on, just do it. I've got to go get some medicine now.
Medicine's not going to help.
Cecil leaves and goes into the kitchen. He checks the pantry for the medicine.
Did you get the medicine?
Hold on, I'm still looking.
Cecil, it's hot in here. Can you do something about the heat?
Okay.
He picks up a fan and a toaster. On his way out, he picks Jean's necklace off a shelf.
Cecil?
Then puts it in his pocket.
Okay, Jean, I'm coming.
In the living room.
I got a thing.
Where's the cough medicine?
I couldn't find it. I'll have to pawn something.
Pawn something? Like what?
Toaster.
The toaster? I need the toaster.
You don't need this toaster. The boy needs some medicine.
It's a funny thing, but I had every intention of using that $5 to buy Ron's medicine.
He enters the pawn shop.
That's the only reason I took Jean's necklace. But it was like I didn't have any control over what I was doing anymore.
Stopping to peer into the tavern window, he fingers the money. He shoves it in his pocket and goes inside.
I'll do what I can.
The bartender hangs up the phone. Cecil sits at the bar, drunk.
Did you tell her I was here?
I had to, Cece.
What'd she want anyway?
She wants you home. Ronnie's still sick. Cece, you've been here for 4 hours already. They need you.
Listen, Harry, I pay good money to drink at this bar, and I don't need your sermons.
They glare at each other. Cecil pushes his glass towards Harry.
I can't let you have any more, Cece.
Cecil slowly gets up and staggers to the men's room. Inside, he hangs onto the wall and drags himself to the mirror.
I hate you. Why did God bring me into this rotten world anyway?
He lurches out of the men's room and heads for the bar.
Cecil, you need some help?
I can walk a few blocks.
He kicks a chair over and leaves the tavern. Outside, he falls down the steps. He gets up and weaves his way home.
So that's the story of my life. Next day, last night, really, that's when I stole the booze with Joe and brought it home to Jean. And do you think there was hope for me 10 years ago?
Oh, 10 years ago. Man, there's hope for you now.
Oh, no, not for me.
Cecil?
Tom picks up a Bible.
Oh, I don't want to hear that.
Don't you believe this is the Word of God?
Yeah, I believe it's the Word of God. I used to read it during the war when I was afraid I was going to get shot up by the Japanese. But I didn't understand, so I gave it up.
Well, Cecil, listen. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God.
Really?
Let me read to you from the 3rd chapter of the Gospel of John, where it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a religious man, but he didn't know God. Then Jesus goes on and says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God.
Preacher, Tom, I don't understand what you're reading.
Listen, Cecil, let me paraphrase this.
Okay.
For God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten son that goes.
No, not me. He doesn't love me.
Why do you say that, Cecil?
If he loved me so much, then why did he take away my mom and my dad, and now my wife and kids?
Cecil, Jesus loves you. Christ died for you. He shed his blood for you. He wants you to repent. He wants you to call upon him, and he wants you to say, Lord, I'm a sinner.
Well, what do I have to do?
Repent of your sins and ask him to come into your heart and be your Savior. Would you like to kneel here right now? Let's pray and ask God to...
If I do that, is it going to bring back my wife and kids?
Cecil, I can't promise you that.
Is it going to bring back my business?
I can't even promise you that.
What can you promise me?
I can promise if you'll repent of your sins and call upon him, he'll give you eternal life and he'll deliver you from alcohol and he'll make a man out of you.
For good?
Forever.
Oh, how I'd like to be a man again. To look in the mirror and shave, not want to cut my throat. It sounds too good to be true. What if I do this, whatever it is you say?
Repent of your sins and call upon Jesus as Lord and Savior. Would you like to do that right now, Cecil?
I trust Christ, and what if I still can't stop drinking? What then?
Cecil, if you really repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior, and he doesn't change your life and deliver you, I'll throw that Bible away, and I'll never preach another sermon as long as I live.
You mean that?
I mean it, absolutely.
I want to trust Christ right now, Tom.
Let's pray.
He puts the Bible down and they kneel. Gently, he puts a hand on Cecil's shoulder.
Dear Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I can't begin to tell you how sorry I am for all the wrong that I've done. I've been a thief and a drunk and a liar and a bum for so long. I need you in my life now, Lord, so bad. My kids and my wife, they've all suffered so much. They've been so good and I've been so bad. I don't know.
Just ask him, Cecil, to come into your heart and be your Savior.
Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and make me a new man. Please, Jesus. Amen.
Cecil bows his head. Soon after, Tom opens the door.
I don't understand. Everything seems so beautiful.
Well, you know, Cecil, the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become as new.
Thank you, preacher.
God bless you, Cecil.
Would you let a drunk stranger come in your house at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Cecil and Ronnie drive up to their apartment house. Cecil gets out and walks around the car.
Go upstairs and see Mommy, okay? Tell her I'll be home later.
He lets Ronnie out. Then he gets back in. In the coffee shop.
Have a nice day, Lily.
You too. Don't work too hard.
I'll try not to.
Cecil enters.
What? You again?
Can I use your phone?
It's a public phone. I can't stop you.
Jean?
What do you want?
I'm real hungry. If I come home, you fix me some breakfast?
Wait, don't come home. I'm leaving here for good in half an hour.
Things will be different now. Last night...
Things will be much different, Cecil.
Oh, please, Jean, come on. I'm broke. I haven't got a dime.
You should have thought of that before you left.
You just let me come home and eat?
Cecil, there's nothing left to say.
He pulls up to his building and gets out. Going through the gate, he starts to climb to the apartment. Inside, Jean locks the screen door.
What do you want?
Good morning, Jean. Can I talk to you?
No, no, you can't talk to me. I don't want to talk to you.
Something very special happened.
I don't care.
What if I said I was going to stop drinking?
I'd say that you were a stinking liar.
Jean walks away from the door.
You have every right to say that.
She comes back.
God saved me last night. I went to see a reverend. He showed me in the Bible where God forgave me my sins. I've changed.
Well, I haven't.
I've accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe when he rose from the dead, it gave me a chance for a new life. I'm a changed man, Jean.
I must be out of my mind. Somehow I believe you.
She unlocks the door. Next morning, Cecil comes to the breakfast table.
Good morning, everybody. I got an announcement to make. Your dad's become a Christian.
What's a Christian, Daddy?
A Christian is somebody who trusts Jesus Christ, and last night I decided to do that. It means with God's help, I won't be drinking anymore. Well, let's do something we've never done before. Let's pray.
They hold hands and bow their heads.
Dear Lord, thank you for helping me find Jesus and help others who need to find him be able to have the same experience that I did. Amen.
Amen.
I know you guys don't trust me, but you're going to see a change in your old dad. I'm going downtown later and pick up a Bible, and I'm going to get a haircut, too.
Just gotta get drunk again.
Can I borrow $5, Jean?
Months later, in a nice big house, Cecil's in the bedroom putting on a tie.
Come on, Jean. We're going to be late for church.
I'll be ready.
I really don't know what's bothering you this morning. We've moved back up north, and we're living in a nice neighborhood, and I got more work than I know what to do with. And I'll tell you something else, Jean. I haven't touched a drop of liquor in all these months. That ought to make you happy, Jean.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not happy.
The Moe family walks to church.
What's bothering you, Jean? I can tell something's the matter.
I don't know if I can take another one of these sermons on being born again.
They go into the church.
So this morning, dear friends, we've come to the realization that God presents two roads to every man. And everyone has to make his choice as to the road that he will take. The one road leads to destruction. It's the broad and the popular road. The other is the narrow road that leads to a life. And we read, few there be that find it. Would to God that you would find that road this morning. May we pray together. Almighty and eternal God, our Father, we pray that thou wouldst lead that person who is on the border of turning his life, her life, over to thee, so that that person will find the narrow way that leads to life in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
That night, as Jean gets into bed...
I've been religious all my life. I go to church. I went to church before I could even talk. I even taught Sunday school for 11 years. You tell me, what else does God want?
He wants your heart, Jean. You know, Jesus died for everybody, not just bones like me.
And we're all sinners in God's eyes. And God will forgive you if you accept him in your heart, just the way I did.
Are you going to that Winthrop Avenue job tomorrow?
Yeah, Stanley's got two roofs for me.
But Cecil, that neighborhood, there's so many bars there.
Don't worry about that, and the Lord will be with me and keep me out of that. Jesus loves you, Gene.
The next morning, Cecil comes out of the house and bounces down the steps. Inside, Jean watches from the window. She looks down at the book she holds in her hand and opens it.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Cecil walks the streets of his old neighborhood.
Dear Reverend Baird, I'm writing this letter to thank you for all that you've done for me. I have a new life in Jesus now. It's been 3 months since I've had a drink, and I know, with God's help, I'll never drink again.
He stops at a tavern.
Gene still isn't a Christian yet, but I know someday my whole family will know Christ as I do.
He waves at the tavern and walks away.
Sincerely.
Jumping for joy.
Cecil Moe.
This described version of Against All Hope was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by Marianne Cherick, narrated by Heather Gale, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Soren. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast of characters: Cecil Moe, Michael Madsen; Jean Moe, Maureen McCarthy; Reverend Tom Baird, Cecil Moe; Young Cecil, Rex Flores; Myrna, Yvonne Higgins; Cliff Moe, Merwin Crowe; Julia Moe, Violet Ekwald; Betty Moe, Elaine Bakakos; Ron Moe, Tim Justin; Stan Moe, Kevin Mulroy; Gus, John Splevac; Harry, Herb Harms; Sharon, Janet Waldquist; Phyllis, Mary McShane; psychiatrist, Ed Berger; Pastor Bigelow, Art Gaster; Mr. Lemke, Angelo Buscaglia; Mr. Hodges, Ron Schultz; waitress, Pamela E.A. Whiteside; George, Jack Coon; Myrtle, Hollis Brosselt; mission preacher, Arnold L. Stewart; funeral pastor, Terry Christopher. Production: producer, director, editor, Edward T. McDougall; executive producer, Cecil C. Moe; production supervisor, Donna Colwin; project coordinator, Dr. Douglas M. White; script, Edward T. McDougall, Cecil C. Moe, Gene Moe, Jerry Newcomb. This film is respectfully dedicated to the memory of J.C. Moe, Julia Moe, Patricia Moe, Wilfred Moe, Leland Moe. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.